We all have the same amount of time in the day, and it's how you allocate that time, and it's how you allocate your resources to a certain thing.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat on the other side of the pond with Matt Jones out of Sydney, Australia.
Looking forward to that. That's quite a ways, quite a pond there.
It's been funny how I have a big passion to my honeymoon for 2 weeks in the South Island of New Zealand, and a big rugby fan, and just love the adventure capital of the world in Queenstown and New Zealand. And Australia is on my bucket list to make a trip over there and check that out as well. But I just love the people and the places over there. And it's been funny how the Art of Construction, how we've had guests and collaboration with people over there. A shout out to Small Business Big Marketing, been in the forum, and love all of the people I've met and learned from on podcasts through that. So I'm really excited to have somebody in to Studio MBWD that, from me growing from nothing to now, we're the number one show on iTunes for contractors and architects. Our whole thing is always about growing the business. So hopefully we can learn from each other and kind of maybe learn a few lingo words from them over there, huh?
No, absolutely. And Matt Jones is the host of the Site Shed, which is a special podcast for people in the trades, and you'll learn some interesting language about how he describes his audience. But he also has a website. Talk a little bit about his website, Devin. That's something I think will be interesting to hear more about as well.
Yeah, so a lot of similarities as far as why he started the podcast is same. Like, I own a little window and door company here in Denver, Colorado, that wanted to really help educate the industry, and that's what made me start the Art of Construction. He was an apprentice back in the day as a plumber and found the need for websites and kind of business development. So he started a plumbing website, but in the end, it all became tradywebguys.com. So now he does consulting work and all that, and then he started the podcast, The Site Shed, that really given you will get. So a lot of really cool similarities. So I'm excited to go back and peel back some of those layers about how we're tied together with them in Australia and us over here in Denver, Colorado. And as always, I'm Devin Tilley. My day job is the president owner of Mountain View Window and Door, the sponsor of this show.
And I'm Kevin Keefe, sales manager at Mountain View Window and Door. And let's jump in and learn a little bit about some tradies.
So what's your favorite beverage?
Ooh, I'm Australian. Beer.
Beer.
I love that. Well said.
We clarify that. Australian beer.
Australian beer.
Yeah.
And do we go there? Australian for beer? What kind of beer?
Oh, you would never have heard of them. It's a bit of a boutique beer culture over here, so we all have our sort of local favorites.
Love it. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Ooh, wow. I've done a lot of traveling. As I mentioned offline there, I've spent a bit of time in Colorado, which I think from a skier's point of view, that pretty much is the pinnacle for me. Spent a bit of time in Japan. Spent a fair bit of time in Sweden, you know, the old ice climbing and all this kind of stuff. So, man, it depends. I'm an avid surfer as well. We spent a lot of time in Bali. It just sort of depends what we're after. But I'd have to say probably, yeah, Colorado and Bali would be up there.
Nice. It's a small world, right? Tell us about your favorite interests when you're not rocking the tradey stuff with the web guys and whatnot that will peel back the layers.
Skiing and surfing.
Love it.
Yep.
I'm really excited to be talking with Matt Jones, who is the principal of Tradey Web Guys, as well as he runs his own podcast over in Australia called The Site Shed. We were mutually introduced, and it's really to show the power of today with technology, how small the world is. Our goal today is to kind of talk about the same things and different, and maybe what we call things, a few things a little bit different. And it's so cool to say, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled, and you say Colorado, where you're sitting in Sydney on the North Shore, where it's 8:30 in the morning and it's 4:30 p.m. here in Denver, Colorado, and we're having a fireside chat and talking about this stuff, building our businesses. And even a cool tidbit about this whole thing is when I got into podcasting over in Australia, I got the pleasure of being on some webinars and speaking with Tim Reed on Small Business Big Marketing, and met Paul, who is Mammoth Audio. So all of our high-end producing and putting all the stuff is actually done in Australia. So I've had to learn the eight-hour differences and those gaps. So it truly is a small world that offline we're kind of like, how did we make the introduction? And in the industry, we made the connection by people saying literally on Australia to Colorado saying, you guys are doing the similar things. You should have a conversation. So folks, here we are.
Yeah, that's it. And no, you're right. It's a small world these days. I mean, we've had tons and tons of guests out of the States on the show, and there's not really that barrier anymore. It all just works beautifully. So
what's a tradie?
So in Australia, we call tradies what you guys call contractors. So typically builders, plumbers, electricians, those kind of things. However, also hairdressers, butchers, bakers, basically anybody that serves an apprenticeship is considered a tradie.
Gotcha.
So tell us your story, yeah. Matt Jones.
Well, I'm a plumber originally, so I grew up on the North Shore of Sydney, where I am right now. Well, I'm on the Northern Beaches right now, so I'm about, 300 metres from the beach, where I've been all morning. Grew up on the North Shore of Sydney, and I suppose like a lot of kids out there, and this is one of the big messages we like to convey through our podcast, is where you begin is not always where you end up. I was, like a lot of kids, not overly what I'd consider academic at school, and when I left school, I was faced with that decision, well, do I go to university and probably end up sucking at it like I did at school, or do I go and do an apprenticeship? So that's what happened. I went into an apprenticeship and absolutely loved it. Served the apprenticeship, then went and traveled for a few years overseas, came back and really started taking an interest within business. That led me into a role, a sales and marketing role within the plumbing industry. And basically from there, we were selling high ticket items to plumbers and drainers. And one of the common complaints we kept getting, like we'd sell these guys these equipment package worth, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars, and they'd come back and they'd say, man, we're going to start selling some of this stuff, or we're going to be sleeping in the trailer you just sold me. And I'd say, well, okay, you know, you need to get it on your website and do some marketing. And they're like, well, I don't have a website. And I said, well, you need to get one. And they're like, well, how do I get one? And I said, well, I'll build one for you. So that's what happened. And I did that a couple of times. And then one thing led to another, and people started talking and referring. And then before I knew it, we were full on into website building. And that basically allowed me to leave my job. And we started up, at that stage, it was Plumbing Web Guys, and it very soon merged into Tradie Web Guys. Yeah, we basically build online solutions for trade-based organizations. So we do everything from builders, electricians, plumbers, roofers, pool companies, you name it, whatever it is, and we do it. Back in February, we launched The Site Shed, which is basically a business podcast for tradies, very similar to, I think, what you guys are doing over there. The whole idea behind The Site Shed is just to basically create a resource, which is a place where business owners or people that were like myself could come to get information relevant to their business, and we can connect them with the right type of people, services, tools, techniques, etc. So there you go. That's a 3-minute spin on my life.
Oh, that's perfect. That's awesome. Give us a little bit of a feel for kind of the process that your ultimate clients have gone through when you know, from the beginning of a conversation when you're explaining this service or these services to them, to them actually experiencing it and the net result that they're seeing out of working with you.
So as I'm sure you're aware, the whole online world can leave people, I suppose, a little bit exposed. And by that, I mean there's a lot of shonky business going on in that space. And so typically people that come to us after...
Shonky?
Okay. Break that down. Do you say...
Yeah, need a little definition there.
Dodgy? Do you say dodgy?
Dodgy. There we go.
Oh, the bonus of this show is you're going to learn what words in Australia mean over here and vice versa. That's,
there you go, that's shonky. Okay, shonky. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Sorry, that was a bit shonky.
No, you just jump in whenever I spit something out that you guys don't comprehend, all right? Yeah, so basically our customers would typically be people that have maybe been down that path of having, you know, potentially the super cheap website put together. However, now they want to go to the next stage, which might be something along the lines of content marketing, or they want to drive AdWords, or they want some sort of marketing strategy in place where they can generate leads and maybe get people converting on their website. So it's typically people that are ready to move to the next stage with their online business, and then they come to us, and that's what we basically put together for them.
So do you have a team of people in Australia doing the work? Or I know the virtual assistant world is really taken off. How do you take care of your customers on building those platforms?
Yeah, we've got project managers that are based onshore, so all of our communications are local. And then we've got teams that are built offshore for our project work. So they basically do a lot of the bulk work, and we couldn't do it without them. They're amazing.
It sounds like a very similar progression as far as us. I own a little window and door company called Mountain View Window and Door, and I really, the slogan I use a lot is giving you a get, and we love to educate and really finding and understanding our ideal customers and surround yourself around people that you like and trust.
Yep.
And that's where I was a guest on a few podcasts, and I learned so much by being on them and listening to them. And then I started looking around saying, you know, where's the platform for me to listen to contractors and architects to grow their business, and me as a supplier wanting to really understand my ideal customer? And I just really didn't find anything out there. So that's truly how the Art of Construction started. Yep. Tell us kind of the, give us a story about why you started this site shed.
I've always been wanting to find a way that I can give back to the industry. So I like education. I like helping. I mean, it's kind of, I suppose, at the end of the day, similar to what we do with Tradie Web Guys. Like, we just like to be able to help businesses. And so I thought, how can I reach more people? How can I get like a broader scope of people that want to learn? How can I get this information out to them? Because the product we have is so cool and it can help so many different people out there. But I just, like, to be honest, it's just a case of increasing that communication and getting people aware of what the product is, what the product can do, and how that can help. So that's kind of how it started. I thought, well, I might start podcasting, because there wasn't too many business podcasts out there that were sort of targeting directly trade-based organizations and contractors. So that's kind of where it started. And then it just grew like really, really quickly. Like within 5 days, we hit new and noteworthy in iTunes, which is a pretty big goal, as you guys would know, I'm sure. And we still stay there today after something like 10 months, you know, so it's pretty crazy. I just wanted to have a platform there where I can, if people need help, if trade-based businesses wanted help with a certain area of their business, if they wanted help like legal advice, or if they wanted accounting advice, or if they wanted whatever it is, I wanted them to have a place where we could connect them to the right people or give them information via a podcast that might be able to assist. And so that's pretty much what started the whole thing.
Hello.
Hi, I've been listening to The Art of Construction, and I noticed you guys have no sponsors. Why is that?
Well, thanks for the call. We do actually have a sponsor. It's Mountain View Window and Door, our sole sponsor to run this great podcast. But we're always looking for quality companies that might have an interest in our audience of great architects and contractors.
So how could I become a sponsor for you?
Well, that's simple. This is Devin Tilley here. And the background of this is we are very specific about creating this show that we don't want it to be a whole bunch of me, blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. This is all about you contractors and architects growing your business. And we're not going to fake it till we make it. This wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mountain View Window and Door. The studio is in the best showroom in the nation, awarded by Anderson Windows and Doors, out of Denver, Colorado. But The Art of Construction is its own standalone platform that is now on its own website, www.theartofconstruction.net. And we are looking for the best advertiser, and we're not going to just settle for anybody. This is like Mountain View Window and Door, only the best that makes sense. And if you want to be part of that, reach out to us on theartofconstruction.net on the message board, and we'll run it through to the department and see if it's a good fit. So we look forward to talking to you, but we're going to guarantee you contractors and architects, this is not an advertisement or a plug. This is all about you to grow your business. Excellent. So today your website is basically kind of like your business card, and there's a lot of different options and avenues out there, from do-it-yourself to managing. What separates what you guys do to say what makes you better and different as a web design platform? The first thing I can tell you is that by actually going after a segment separates you right off the bat. And we love having people into Studio MVWD and talk on The Art of Construction that actually take a way to focus. If you go back and listen to Charette Venture Group, there's a million different investment coaching firms out there, but they literally are all about investing in architect firms. So that's what we loved about them from looking at your websites and the things out there. That's your focus. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, 100%. So we, and this is something that I teach religiously as well, both through podcasts and workshops and whatever. It's you, if you can just get through that whole paradigm of, okay, I'm trying to be everything to everyone, and just focus down hard on a particular niche or an area that you can be an expert in, you'd be amazed at how much that can transform a business. For me, I always wanted to help trade-based businesses because that's kind of where I come from, and I love them. So it was quite an easy step for me. If you want to be a plumber, that's really cool, but it's hard to market yourself as a plumber that is an expert in everything. Whereas if you wanted to market yourself as the hot water specialist or as the heating and cooling guy or as the block drain specialist or whatever it is. It's a lot easier for you to get traction within a niche. It doesn't mean that you have to turn work away from hot water if you're the block drain guys, but it means realistically, you're probably never going to get your foot in the door in that person's house if you didn't have that targeted marketing.
You provide tips, tricks, advice, and that kind of thing to help people focus their energies to get better results in their business.
Well, exactly right. I mean, it's just about, I suppose, finding out what they can do to hone in on a certain area of their industry and then try and become a bit of an expert within that space. And that's really what it's kind of about. You know that old saying, if you try to be everything to everyone, you'll end up being nothing to anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty true. So, it does pay dividends if you can get out there and sort of focus on a specific area, drive marketing towards that, because what will happen is that will get your foot in the door for that area, which then will give you the opportunity to sell into other areas. But if you didn't get your foot in the door, you wouldn't have that opportunity in the first place. So it would be null and void.
Excellent. And then once you find that niche business and really attack it, that's what we do at Mountain View. We're all about contractors and architects, and we take mm-hmm. multiple trips a year back to the products we sell, meaning you got to buy right to sell right. So we're actually next week taking a group of architects, that ones that last year we previously took back to called Bayport, Minnesota, which is where Anderson Windows are all manufactured. And here in the States, they're one of the the biggest manufacturer of windows in the United States. Mm-hmm. I kind of got a preface because I'm assuming we'll get some listeners in Australia as we can learn from each other here. But so yeah. Anderson Windows, the guys we took last year to Bayport, Minnesota, this year we're taking them to Dubuque, Iowa, to one of their more specialized plants. And the reason I say that is because it's really been so successful to kind of piggyback off of be really good at a few things, not all things to all people. And by really focusing on that, now we really know who our ideal customers are, understanding our why, and putting all our emphasis on putting the round peg in the round hole and going back and spending all the time to really understand your ideal customers. So we take them back on a yearly trip and doing things that they really love that tie all back to the profession by going to tour Frank Lloyd Wright House and glass manufacturing plants and seeing it all put together. And it's literally this kind of a 3-year plan where we really develop and solidify the relationship. Do you do anything like that over with your team as you kind of have some parallel stuff?
From the point of view of like the staff, then yeah, we always try and implement different programs and different initiatives and things like that to keep that side of the business growing. And then from the listener's point of view, really comes down to, I suppose, the content we create. I suppose different types of content will be different to different listeners. We might get a specialist on board that may be an expert in flat rate pricing, which may not suit the listeners out there but contract to contract kind of work, like big projects. However, then we might get somebody on that might be able to, that might speak about tendering or something like that, which would be more relevant to them and not so much the guys that do job-to-job basis. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bit of a mix of both, but I suppose that's a testament to, that's as a result of our audience. So we have to be courteous to that.
No, absolutely. And so give us a little bit of a description. When you say tendering, what are you referring to there?
Quoting, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Or you call it something else too. I can't remember. I was talking about this other day.
Like a bid, like bidding
bid,
process?
Bidding, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
there you
yeah,
go. Okay,
yeah.
Great. And off air, you'd spoken a little bit about a program that you've done with this Learn and Ski, right? That's with some of your customers. Maybe you can describe a little bit about that.
As mentioned, I'm a skier. I'm a surfer. I'm pretty fanatical about both. We were down skiing last year in Australia with a couple of friends and clients. They sort of said, how cool would it be if we could do all this as like a business, tax deduction? And I said, oh, good idea. So I put together a bit of a strategy after that where I basically put together a workshop. So we've just got back from New Zealand, which is probably about a three-hour flight east of where we are here in Sydney. New Zealand's got some beautiful skiing mountains, world-class skiing over there. And so we took a whole group of guys over to New Zealand, and we ran our first ever Learn and Ski program, which basically allowed the guests to go skiing in the morning, and then we'd come back to the hotel for about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, do a two-hour workshop, and then we'd go out for dinner and have a few beers. Yeah, it was a fantastic program. Everyone went there, absolutely loved it. And as a result, we're going to be doing Japan in February. For some more skiing.
Great. Nice.
What was your top thing that you talked about during the learning session?
The whole program was on basically content creation. So one of the big observations that I see regularly through both the SiteShed and Tradie Web Guys is businesses that may have gone to the length of getting a website built. However, the way they're falling behind is in actively creating content for those websites. So over the course of 3 days, we split up basically a workshop where we were educating guys about the different stages of content creation, how to find their audience, how to create content and where to create it, and then how to syndicate it, how to send that content out.
Do you find one of the things that we bump into pretty frequently with smaller contractors is a lot of times this is something they understand or they believe is important, and just kind of like you described, they'll go over to step one and then they drop the ball and mm-hmm. don't take it any further, and the effectiveness is nearly zero.
Yeah.
And so are you finding the same kind of thing out there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say the first step, and where most people, most companies, most organizations drop the ball, is they'll go and get the website built and then think, voila, I'm done, which is a little bit further from the truth. I mean, I think there's a bit of a disconnect out there in the space of, well, okay, now I've got my website built, why isn't my phone ringing? I think people really need to understand that, you know, if you want to make your phone ring, or if you want to build a presence, or you want to really become an expert in a certain area of your niche, then you really need to put a bit of work into, you know, getting content out there and educating and building that rapport with customers and potential customers.
Now, do you integrate your efforts with, or should do your efforts include integrating with social media and that kind of thing to get the word out, or is that kind of a separate avenue?
Yes. However, I think it's really important that people understand that they should be in charge and they should own their own content. So yes, social media does play a big part, but only when it comes to the syndication part. So the part where you're actually sending the content out. I think just for the listeners out there, if you are in that space right now, get in the habit of creating content on a platform that you control, which is your website. So it might be a blog, or it might be a project gallery, or it might be an FAQ, or it might be a, you know, a testimony or a case study or whatever it is, but you create that content on your own website. And then from there, you can send that content out to your social media channels. But by doing that, what you're effectively trying to do is drive people back to your website that you control, where they can opt in for something and join part of your database. Because at the end of the day, it's all about building that business asset, and you can't really build that asset from Facebook or from Instagram. You've always got to get people back to somewhere where they can opt in and become part of your business.
I'm curious what you would say. What are the top three social media platforms in Australia for the construction industry?
I think it varies, and this is also something that I try and get guys to consider. Where you hang out is not necessarily where your client hangs out or your ideal customer. So, I mean, obviously, we've got the same social media avenues as you guys do, your Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Pinterest, all these things, right? However, you got to be realistic about where does my customer spend their time, because there's no point if you're a B2B business-to-business sort of organization. So say you might be an architect and you're working with engineers or something like that, you're probably going to find that most of your audience isn't going to be hanging out on Facebook. You're probably better off on something like LinkedIn, a bit of more of a professional platform. So by investing a lot of time, money, resource into Facebook marketing or something like that, you're probably not going to get as much of a return as you would if you sort of invested that similar sort of energy into LinkedIn. However, say you're a builder, or you might be like a landscape gardener or something like that, you've got a very visual product. Implementing a program or a tool like Instagram or Pinterest would probably pay you dividends, because what you're selling is very visual and it can relate to your audience very well.
Awesome. I'm curious, because we've had one of the marketing directors from Houzz on our show, and we've been to some of their events, and they're talking to us a lot about, I mean, they're very big, obviously, here in the U.S., but they've had unbelievable growth worldwide. So kind of where do you position Houzz in the industry? Is that something that comes up on the radar down there or not?
What is Houzz? I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Houzz.com. So yeah, it's an area where both architects, builders, and homeowners can kind of share ideas and playbooks, if you will, for designing homes and portions of homes and things like that. And it's just taken off like wildfire. So
Houzz.com.
Houzz. And then they're trying to find a way to get, they've really found a good job of, they call them idea books, to where people can see projects and create an idea book that then you then can put it out to bid to contractors because you like what they put out there. And it's kind of it's like taking Facebook and Instagram and smashing it together for the construction industry, because you have those pictures, okay, but also with the dialogue, but there is a business platform to it. And they give you the free profile, but if you want to really cater to it, it's all about giving them more money to be top of the list. And they put a lot of emphasis on it. Of used course. To be all about free, and now it's all about them building that platform. So I'm sure it's that and other things will get into your neck of the woods.
Yeah, potentially. I still think it's important to own your own content. So, I mean, I'm always a little bit dubious about investing heavily into programs that at the end of the day you have no control over. So I think this is where, you know, like a good organic content strategy can pay you dividends in the long run. You know, if a company or a website like Howes falls over, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it may hurt you a little bit, but it's not going to cost you everything. You know, whereas when you do see people investing too much into one specific platform or program, you know, and then if something does happen, they typically can lose everything, you know. So, I mean, but it sounds like, and I mean, I'm obviously not familiar with the company, but I mean, they sounds to me like they've kind of got two angles there. They're both B2B and B2C. So, you know, they're dealing with, you know, on the B2B end, they're trying to, I suppose, communicate with builders and contractors, et cetera. However, on the B2C scale, they're kind of more communicating with potential customers or people that are looking for products or services. So I think they've probably got a pretty good bet in hedging their marketing or directing their different types of marketing towards those two different avenues to get people back onto the platform where then they can sort of become part of that community.
Well, the interesting thing too, and then we'll go on to other things, but the interesting thing with them, I believe, is that they started mostly with the B2C market, and then it got the attention as time went on with the professional market. And we've gone to a couple of their events where architects and builders have spoken very highly about the success that they've had after they got involved more heavily in the format. So something to look at.
I mean, what's your take on that? Where would you guys think they should be spending their time?
I loved your answer about, you know, where is your customer going to be? And we're putting a lot of time behind the scenes, and this is kind of a hot button thing for me as we're looking at my company and social media wise is all on all of the platforms. And then I have this thing called the Art of Construction podcast that now is like, okay, you should have that on everything. And it's like, it becomes daunting. Back on show 16, we had, his name is Dennis Schaefer. His company was Visible Builder, and he basically, his company was, he owned a decking company, and he saw the need where social media people wanted to be there, but they didn't know. So basically, you pay him a monthly fee, you give them the content, and they put it out there onto the channels that you work out a platform with them, which was kind of a cool concept. He made the comment about he could see websites becoming a thing of the past because everybody just lives on social media. But here I am a year later talking with you, and I couldn't agree more to say you can only control what you can control, you know, and, you know, where the states are with politics and all the different things, and I'm not even going to open up that can of worms. But my point is the social media platforms is Howes was, for us, was the best thing since sliced bread. And we put all this emphasis, and then they turned about, oh, wait, it's all about you give me a bunch of money, and then I'll start giving you more leads. And things can change in a hurry, but your website, www. That you create, that's your baby, and you can really make and drive that. So I would agree with what you're saying, and we're putting a huge emphasis on tying those things. So wherever you're at in the world, whether you're in Sydney or Denver, Colorado, it's finding and understand who your ideal customer is and then catering to them to where you make a platform to add value to them. And how do you add value?
A good framework for anyone listening to this podcast would be, first of all, establish your own platform. So get yourself set up with a website. Your website is not just a website, right? Like, it's at the end of the day, it's a marketing platform. It's where your first impressions are created. And you're kidding yourself if you think otherwise. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. Like, statistically here in Australia, if you see a truck drive past with branding on the side of the door, we're more likely in Australia, and I'm sure it'll be the same in the States, to jump on our phone and Google the company name that we've seen than call the number that's underneath it. So you've got to make sure that you have somewhere for people to land and they can get that first impression. And then once they get there, what are you doing to add value to them immediately? How are you going to give them something of value? And in doing so, allow them to enter and join your community. So get them into some sort of mailing list or whatever it is. So that's really paramount. And from there, once you've got those people that are opting into your website, you've got leverage because you're building a database. They've come to you for a reason. They want information. They want you to educate them. So educate them. So get them on some sort of program where you it might be a monthly newsletter, or it might be how-tos, or it could be anything like that. It could be a little video series or whatever it is, just to do something there that's going to keep them engaged. And come the time, if not immediately, come the time when they are ready to engage or look for something that you offer, who's going to be fresh in the mind? Is it going to be the person that has been proactive in trying to educate them about various things that they actually are interested in? Or is it going to be somebody that they have spent no time with them? They don't know anything about them. They've built no trust. They've built no rapport. So it's a bit of a no-brainer.
And the other thing is it has to be current. I mean, I'm assuming that you've run into a number of situations where you're working with a new customer and they have that website and maybe they did a blog, but the blog hasn't been updated in 6 years. So talk a little bit about the importance of keeping things current and how that works versus something that is 6 years old.
Content is, it does require a bit of a strategy. And a lot of our guys, you know, when we teach this stuff, they sort of come back and say, well, I don't have time to do this kind of thing. And which is fine. Like, I completely understand with that. But what people need to understand is it's not a matter of whether or not you have the time to do it. Like, well, the reason we teach this is because it's necessary. And so you can make all the excuses in the world. I haven't got the time. I haven't got the resource. It doesn't apply to me, all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, we all have the same amount of time in the day. And it's how you allocate that time. And it's how you allocate your resources to certain things. So it depends on the goal. I encourage people not to go out there and create content ad hoc. So, you know, wake up one Friday morning and not have a job on and go, oh, I might just create and launch a blog. Like, it's better if people have a bit of a strategy in place, you know, a bit of a keyword strategy. Or yes, keeping it current is definitely important. But I think as well, keeping it consistent is even more important.
Interesting. Okay.
Let's change the course. What's a question you would ask us over here in the States that you think people in Australia would be curious about? People that listen to your shows, what would be a question you guys would ask?
I'd be curious about, I suppose, like over here with businesses, we do a lot of geographical marketing, so geographical and service marketing. So, for example, it could be like a suburb in Sydney. I'll give you a name of a suburb in Sydney, say Collaroy. Okay, so if you're a builder and you specialize in, say, extensions or renovations, a keyword that you might target may be renovations Collaroy. Now, I know in America, you guys have a lot larger population, and I'm just wondering how if you guys have similar strategies in place, I suppose, from a paid marketing perspective in order to get traffic.
I think that's pretty commonplace that people, depending on, you know, their scope of business, but I mean, larger companies are now even getting to the point where they're trying to focus on specific local markets that way, like you're describing, so that when somebody's looking in a local market and it is a national company, they're not being left out. And then you've got local companies or statewide companies that want to focus in different geographies, or maybe just one geography, period. Or two or three. And so, yeah, I think people are doing that on a pretty regular basis with marketing and advertising.
The statement Anderson and I talked about earlier, their statement now is all markets are local. And the big keep getting bigger by buying out these companies, but yet they're buying them trying to still keep that local feel, knowing all markets are local. And even us, the window company, we have showrooms out of two locations in a metro as well as two different markets that are totally different. So we definitely have those local geographic areas.
Yeah, I think that's important because I see a lot of people sort of come unstuck on that, or they spend a lot of money and don't get results because they're just trying to target too broad. Whereas by trying to keep it local serves a number of purposes. Firstly, it's a better investment, I suppose, financially in the space that, you know, you may not spend as much. We won't waste as much, I should say. However, what you're doing is you're narrowing your target, which in a city like Sydney, like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Sydney at all, but it's a massive city. Like, it's huge. 4.5 million people. In peak hour, if you were to drive from one end of Sydney to the other, it could take you 2.5-3 hours. So if you're marketing towards Sydney as a whole, you're kidding yourself, really, because the last thing you want to do is travel 2.5 hours across the city to fix a leaking tap.
Yeah, I think that's critically important. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think local marketing is definitely a smarter way to firstly get a better bang out of your buck with ad spend. And then secondly, of course, keep your services closer to home and less travel time, more billable hours.
You've taken the time to talk to us. Give us the 30-second elevator pitch of the SiteShed podcast so that we take all of our subscribers here in the States that are blown away by Matt Jones and what he has to hear, and tell us the framework to hear about your podcast, and then vice versa when they hear this, when you tell everybody about it. Maybe I'll be a guest on your show and we can and reciprocate everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, one of the big myths that we like to dispel is where you start is not where you end up. So I'm a testament to it. I'm a plumber and now I run digital agency. Like, go figure. You could never have told, if you had told me that when I started, when I was a first year apprentice, when I was 18, 19 years old, I probably would have told you you're crazy. But like, this is the big thing. And I think a lot of kids over here, especially in Australia, I'm pretty sure it's the same in the States, is a bit of a declining interest in people entering into apprenticeships. And I think there's that whole mentality around, well, I don't want to be digging holes when I'm 40, 50 years old. And yeah, often that can be the case. However, it's not always the case. And I think if people can come to the realization that, you know, doing an apprenticeship and becoming a tradesperson is actually a seriously good business opportunity. I mean, some of the smartest business owners I know on the planet are trade-based business owners, and they make ridiculous amounts of money. So don't be fooled by the fact that by going into an apprenticeship, it means you're going to be digging holes or putting roof frames together when you're 50 and 60 years old. That's not always the case. So I suppose as an elevator pitch for the SiteShed, it's basically a platform where trade-based organizations, contractors can come and they can get relevant information to that style of business. So, you know, we get specialists on the show and they'll be talking about, you know, everything from marketing through to sales, through to flat rate pricing or whatever it is, but it's all relevant to trade-based organizations.
So what was the topic of the last show?
It's all about buying. So this whole series that we've done is on, I suppose, building trust and rapport. And I had a specialist on the show that we're talking about. So the first episode, it was a three-part series, What Not Following Up Is Costing You. So this is really important because, I mean, I know I'm guilty of this myself. I'll send proposals out there and my follow-up process needs improving. So I'm potentially losing out on quite a lot of revenue there by not following up correctly. So that was a pretty relevant topic, I think, to a lot of people that are doing proposals and doing bids. The next one we've done here is how women's role in purchasing. So the lady that I had on the show, she's a successful business owner and a mother of two. And she was talking about how, you know, at the end of the day, women are very much in charge of purchasing. So you've got to be careful about how you target your marketing, because a lot of women will, you, at the end of the day, you will be communicating to them. So that went live, yeah, yesterday. And then this morning, tomorrow, there'll be the episode of the final one of that series is about how more building trust will help you increase your sales.
Love it. So what's your release schedule? Because you got me hooked. I'm going to be subscribing and diving in.
Yeah. Yeah, we do quite a lot. So we typically do around three a week.
Wow.
Give or take. So it's normally Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We do a lot of series format. So the reason we do that, and I'm not sure if you guys do this as well, however, we find that if you can break down a topic, or you get an expert in on a specific topic, and if they talk about everything they do in one hit, then it just gets too hard to digest. So what we try and do is break it down into series where we talk about one specific thing in each podcast, and then each specific episode will have a call to action relevant to that. And that way it makes it a little bit more digestible for the listeners, and it gives them something they can potentially go and apply straight away without getting all confused and flustered and things like that. So we find that works well. I don't know if you guys have done anything similar to that yourselves, but it's a pretty good format.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would just say for the people that I know you're going to tell everybody about you being a guest on this show. So the people that will listen that haven't listened before, it's called The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow their business. And we release bi-weekly, so every other Thursday a show gets put on iTunes as well as Stitcher. Yep. We keep them under an hour. And we try to hit the high note stuff and really get something that they can take to the bank. And that's going to be one of the last questions we'll ask you here next. And then we have a great website that we actually do show notes and a message board for every single show we do that we create all this content from. And this is my company's blog, our showcase. It's kind of where we do a lot of the things that has now grown into a platform that a lot of people can grow from. So if the one thing, what's the one thing that all of our listeners all over the world, that this is such a cool deal to have you in Sydney and us in Denver, Colorado, if there's one thing you want everyone in the world to hear that you could leave, what is that one thing, that golden marketing nugget to take to the bank?
There's probably two things. Firstly, invest in yourselves. And anyone that's listening, I suppose, to this podcast is in that space. Like they know, they appreciate the value of education and getting exposure to ideas and tools and techniques and systems and processes that they may not otherwise have exposure to. So by all means, yeah, absolutely. Just go check out podcasts, listen to different shows and pick up different ideas and then go. And if you can implement something, fantastic. I mean, you can absorb all the information in the world, but if you don't go and implement it, then at the end of the day, it's kind of all for nothing. So that would be one thing. And then secondly, as I sort of stated before, just get that framework down pat. It's really simple to map it out. You just get a pen and paper and you write down, okay, this is my website. But now the website's built and it's built well. I want to make sure that once people get to that website, they have a way that they can join part of my community, which will allow me to then educate them and keep them up to date with things that we're doing and things that they can get value from. It's a really simple framework. So have your website, have a way they can join your community, and then communicate to them.
Awesome. Love Great it. Advice, Matt.
Thanks for bringing the tradie talk over here to the States, my friend.
No worries, mate.
Well, we learned a few things about tradies.
So tendering is a bid, tradie is a contractor, or really an apprentice in anything that's building it up. And I definitely would agree with what he's saying. It's becoming a lost art. And we're all trying to understand the millennials and all the different tradies that they don't want to go into apprentice work. And the ones that are really doing well, and hopefully we can give through our mutual podcast to really help that extension is a what we would call a renovation or a remodel.
And a tender is?
A bid.
There you go. So once you get past a little bit of differences in terms and language, really the platform and the foundation is exactly the same.
Yeah, mate.
There you go.
So I challenge everybody to go give the site shed a listen if you think the art of construction, because, you know, it's a small world out there. And we got introduced saying both your podcasts are so good. You guys need to be tied together. So we listened from the message board and people that are reaching out to us as we're growing the show. So there we did it. And hopefully you got a lot out of that. Hopefully someday we'll be a guest on that show. And hopefully we can continue to give and then we'll all get together, right?
And check out the show notes page, because there's going to be a lot of good links for sources on his site, as well as some additional information and a few Aussie terms as well.
All right. Cheers, everyone.
You've been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.